So Richmond getting Richmond back, Sip Hay. There's 3 CFM to finish it. And then we'll go on to a big topic, you know, a very important one about Shehiyah, preparing food for Shabbat, heating them up. Okay, so last week we were discussing about doing malacha before Shabbat, starting stuff like traps and stuff like that. That was mutter. We don't hold a shvita kelim. We hold all that stuff. Okay, setting up a timer, ikar, all those things. The factories, ikar, and a lot of those are all mutar. Sifhei. Mutter liftoch mayim legina. So you could set up the same way that you could set up a trap or cloth in a cauldron to accept the dyes or anything like that. Those are mutar. Or lighting a candle before Shabbat. All those are mutar. So you can let a sprinkler go into a garden that will... and water is going to go in onto the and water the flowers and everything else on Shabbat because I set up the system before Shabbat, so it's going to plant. You know, you can't water plants on Shabbat either. It's chorish or zorea. It's making that. It's making the plants grow better. Can't do that. But if I set up before Shabbat, that should be okay. Fine. So what would be true? What would be? What about a sprinkler? That a sprinkler, it's the same thing. If you set it from before Shabbat, should be no shy, it should be mutar. What if you set up the sprinkler on a timer? That it's going to be automatic, it's going to go on, and it's going to go on at some point in the middle of the night. Right. It's going to go on in the middle of the night, in the morning, whatever. It goes on at a specific time. So then is a machlok el achronim. Machlok el achronim. I don't know if they bring it over here. Let's see, 1 second. Anyway, they bring, so it says in the Sardi one from Yavi Yosef that Yesho Srim, some say it's Asur because it looks like you might have done it on Shabbat. And then the Ikar Din is it's Mutar. I believe if I remember correctly, the Shmir Shabbat brings some Hor Machmir that say you shouldn't do this. But that's the Ikar Din is Mutar.
He says it's mutar. According to the Tzitz Eliezer.
Okay. So that's the Ikar Din, I think. You hold, it's okay to leave on the sprinkler. Once Rosh Shachter said he gave a shiur that he thought it was Asur. He has a chidush, based on the Rambam, he has a chidush. That all what it says in the Siman, the Torah Shvita Kelim, that it's okay to set up a system that's going to do malacha going into Shabbat, like setting up a trap, or the cloth in the cauldron to get dyed, or the watering plants, or only if the malacha is happening now, before Shabbat, going into Shabbat. When you have a timer, the malacha starts in the middle of Shabbat, that's a problem. What's the difference? He said from the Rambam, has a commentary on Gemara. The Rambam wrote on Mishnayot, that's famous, Perish Mishnayot. The Rambam also wrote on his Halachot, that's famous. We have a Mor and Nebuchim of the Rambam. We have a few things of the Rambam, lots of letters. But also, not so famous, he wrote on Gemara, Chidushim on Gemara. Yeah. He says he writes about that he wrote it, or he wrote some things in there, he was going to write it. We don't have anything except, we have a few pages here and there. So it's written in Judeo-Arabic. So they have somebody, they wrote them up on Masachat Shabbat, Chidushim of the Rambam on the Gemara Shabbat. It's in the back, I think, of the new Perish Mishnayot. So in the new in the Hebrew ones, the new versions, Machonofik, whatever, they translate to Hebrew. So anyway.
You're going to make like the doctrines from that.
Yeah, someone made a doctrine, I'm sure. Huh? Some a doctorate probably.
No, you cannot make it deductions like the Yukim.
The Diukim are weaker, translator, it's true. Yeah. But anyway, he says over there, he says it a few times. He says maybe it'll be a sewer to set up a trap if the trap is set up in the middle of Shabbat. because then even if you didn't do it, and it sounds like it's only because the malacha is starting right now, but if the malacha starts later, it's a problem.
But what
Okay.
about the job? The job is you're putting the melacha
Yeah, it's hard
and
to
it's doing
explain.
it later.
It's hard to explain. You could explain what it says in the Gemara. You could set up the trap. It means that the animals are going to come in right now. So that's okay. But if you set it up now and the animals come later, that's already a problem. Could say.
And say that that's the answer and
You can explain. But either way, that's where the Rosh Hashanah comes from. That there's Issur Darabanan. It looks like you're doing Malacha if you start the Malacha in the middle of Shabbat. It looks like it's Mutar. It is Mutar if it starts before Shabbat.
What's your personal opinion?
That's the Chumrah. The Ikar is
Also,
Mutar.
you told me that
Yeah,
yesterday
that's what we're saying over here as well.
so little
Once Rosh
bitter.
Schachter said he gave a shiur that they shouldn't have sprinklers on timers on Shabbat, and he said after he came out of the shiur, it was, I don't know, he said Reuben or something. After he finished the shiur, he came out and there were sprinklers on the lawn in front of Reuben, and he said so after Shabbat he went. He said this is years ago. He went to Rabbi Lamb. It was the dean. It was the president. On Shabbat, yeah. No. He went after Shabbat. He went to. He asked Rabbi Lamb, and they said they know that they. I don't know if they have a policy about it, but I don't know if they do have the sprinklers on Shabbat. I don't know if they do put them on Shabbat. Anyway, fine. That's the beginning of the sif. Let's keep going. Say now a few other things. La'anich kilor aval ayin. This is a medicine patch. You can't put on medicine on Shabbat, but before Shabbat,
Like a band-aid.
a band-aid probably is mutar. Band-aid just protects from getting infected. But you can't take cream. If I have, let's say, I have a cut or a big cut. Someone has a big cut. Can't take Vaseline and put it on. Can't put creams on. It's smearing. Certainly can't do that. But even the guy says, I'm sneezing. I know if I take whatever Benadryl or something, whatever, I take a certain medicine, it'll help me for my cold. Can't do that. Unless Chol HaShem looking out. The guy's in bed, he's very sick or whatever, he's not able to come to shul, it's bothering him a lot. So then we're Mekel, fine. Or the guy has a migraine, it's killing him, his headache. So
In
then
bed,
go ahead and he could take Advil, Tylenol. But
still applies nowadays this rule.
yeah, that's what Chacham Avadi says. He's long tshuva about this. There were those who thought it doesn't apply as well as that because today we don't really grind our own things, but
There's still
Ikar, yeah, it
some
exists in the world, and also we could say, batal gezeira. Even if the reason doesn't apply, the gezeira still applies. So that's the bottom line. We still have that halacha that we don't
lot of
make.
time the poskim say that even the dam is not clear
Yeah, for
and
example, clapping on Shabbat. Sorry, clapping and dancing on Shabbat. The Ikar, Svardim, the Maran says you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to clap and dance. Oh, yeah, people do like this. Or whatever.
I send it.
Yeah, whatever Shinui, whatever you think is different. Okay. But why? Why? Because Maran says we don't do it. And the Gemara says, Gezira Shema Yitak, I'm going to fix the entrance. Tosafot says, nah, that's a joke. Come on, we never do that. So, we don't know how to fix the instruments so well, so it's not going to apply to us anymore. But the Shulchan Aruch says, no, we don't. We follow the Rambam. It applies. And that's it. So that's the general psak. It's not to say the reason doesn't seem to apply, so we throw it out.
Also, I heard that story about Gezerot from Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara that he said. They made a gezerah not tilting the candle.
Yes.
They said, right,
It doesn't apply to
Rabbi
me.
doesn't apply to me. I really, it's 1 second, he was about to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I don't know how they said, but like, how wise are the words of the Rambam?
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that him thinking to do it, like,
I
that's
think it says
already.
that he did it. It didn't say that. I thought it said that he did it.
Did it?
I thought it said that Rabbi Shmuel, and then he wrote down that he's going to bring a korban when the Beit HaMikdash will be built. He wants to bring a korban because he just made a mistake.
Wow, that's
right. Yeah, that's a good example of where when Chazal make a gzera, we apply it even where it doesn't really seem to be rational that we should have to apply. Anyway, So Rav Bizman is that for sure, whether there are reasons today, not reasons today, we still have that it's la. But the band-aid is fine because it's just protecting a scratch. And also what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here is you put on the cream before Shabbat. That's fine. Because you can leave it there, you put on a cream on a bandage, and you put it on your hand before Shabbat. Fine, go ahead and leave it on Shabbat. Is it gonna do more refuah on Shabbat? Sure. But bottom line, you can leave it there. So,
Simon Usher.
Okay, so we're in Rishon and Bet, Sif Hay. We're discussing, we're going to be, the main topic is warming up food before Shabbat, on Shabbat. But God, right before that, we were finishing up a few things. We're going to finish up a few things right before it. In a few minutes, we'll get to that. The first thing we had was about sprinklers, that you can set up a system for Shabbat with the timer, just if you left the water running, you can have it coming for Shabbat because you're not doing the malacha. That's the general rule. General rule is you can't do malacha on Shabbat. If you set up a malacha before Shabbat, it's going on and continues, that's okay. So it's relevant to Shehiyah. Shehiyah is because you can cook before Shabbat. So if you set up the thing that's going to cook into Shabbat, generally, that's not for every other malacha, is not a problem. For specifically for Bishul, for cooking, we have a special gezerah. If the food is somewhat raw, we'll talk about exactly what the level is. If it's not somewhat raw, then we're afraid that you're going to stoke the coals, you're going to make it try to cook faster, and that's why it's a problem. And we'll talk about how to make it mutak. Yes, right? Yes, it is asur. It is true, but it's only if you obviously it's when you leave it going into Shabbat, right?
Yeah. Well, you're gonna.
We're afraid, same idea, you're going to stoke the coals when it comes Shabbat. Meaning if I insulate it before Shabbat and leave it going into Shabbat. It doesn't mean on Friday in the morning.
I think it's supposed to say Midor Yom.
Well, the Ramah brings an opinion.
What's insulated?
Yeah, some say it's not, but that's a good example. If you have food in the cholent, it's inside the crock pot, the outer shell of the crock pot is very hot and surrounds all the food. It surrounds the food and there's a cover on top. Some say that's like insulated. What's the insulation of the Gemara? Is you take a box of food and you put a cloth all around it or something like that, or kash, kebava, whatever. You take olives or ashes. Maybe if I put, once it's on my mind, I surrounded the whole food with the ashes or with cotton or things that are going to insulate it very well, they're going to say, hey, my food, I can take out, open up the food, and I can eat one meatball and say, hey, it's freezing. It's bad. I don't want to eat it. Put it back in, and then I'm going to get excited to soak the coals, to heat it up more. That's the gezeirah. The gezeirah is once you're makpid, once you show that you care about the heat, instead of afraid you're going to go a step further. Okay. So anyway, let's just finish over here. It's the second line on page 10 of these pages, right? So okay, you can leave a smell, a spice. If you want to make the house smell nice, you put spice on top of the fire, and they continually smoke and create a nice smell. That's fine. Even if it's that their spice is bottled up or whatever, that's fine. That's not an issue of do malacha because I did all the stuff. I set it up before Shabbat. Most of it does. Okay.
So the whole discussion comes with like doing laundry before Shabbat, starting it before Shabbat starts.
Right. So doing that's a meaning.
Make noise or not?
Oh, that's the Ramah here. We're going to deal with the noise. Generally, in terms of malacha itself, doing the laundry should be fine. Like we said over here, anything that's done. You start, press the buttons before Shabbat, or even a timer we said from Yach Yosef, that's also Mutar. What happens with the clothing that are wet on starting in the beginning of Shabbat? So that's a lot of poskim are going to say, we didn't deal with that here, but a lot of poskim say that that's already a question of muksa, the clothing that are wet beginning of Shabbat. If you put it on in the dryer, so then probably Ikar Adin is it's going to be fine. If opening the door is not going to cause a light to go on or whatever, you can open them up and take them out. But okay, we'll maybe discuss that another day. More okay. Anyway, over here, fine. Same thing with barley. You're letting it sit in a basket. It's going to get soaked. Okay, same thing. In all these cases, anything that you start the process before Shabbat is fine. Tonim Same thing with grapes and olives that are sitting under a press. They're going to squeeze out and get juice coming out of them. It's fine. Because v'shem v'yayin yotzim mehem mutar. Because basically, you set it up before Shabbat, no problem. V'chein botzer melilotzer is kamei v'odom. Same idea, okay? Other things being crushed. Mutar l'techitim tocher chaim. Shamayim somad l'chashecha. A water mill. You put in the grain before Shabbat, and then it's grinding itself on Shabbat. That's okay. It's from a Gemara. That's exactly what the point of Shulchan Aruch is exactly. Pasha says, even if it's very noisy, says the Rama. A mill. It's gonna crush the grain.
See, mill in Spanish.
Molino.
Okay.
Yeah, no, no. That's it. Thank
because
you.
I didn't know what a mill was until like, who knows how long ago.
Right. No, so this is so it's gonna. We don't use like mills so commonly today for these things. But what is very practical is the noise, right? So the Rama says, "V'lochashin lashmiya kol." The first opinion, Maran Shulchan Aruch's opinion is, we're not worried about, just because there's a lot of noise, that there's a malacha going on and people hear it and know about it, we're going to then come and say, oh, for sure someone's doing a malacha on Shabbat. We're not worried about that. Why? Because they could say, hey, it was that before Shabbat. It could be, it's a non-Jew, whatever. They're not worried. And therefore, it's mutar. The Ramah then brings Geisha, Srim, some say it's Asur. It goes all the way back to the Gemara. Rab and Rav Yosef, two opinions of the Gemara. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like most Rishonim, that say it's okay, and then the Tosu and others say it's a problem. They hold like that opinion. They say, Hashma Kol, Yesh Ramir Rechaim, Mekom Makom, Yesh Lachush, Lashma Kol, we should worry about that. So they bring there in the parentheses all the opinions and say like that. Hachanahug Lachachila. Mil Makom Seri, Yesh Lachachim. Fine. So therefore, leaving a washing machine going for Shabbat, or leaving a dryer going from before Shabbat, Ikar Adin for Svardim is Mutar. Because it's the same thing, we're not worried about Hashma Kol. And you start on malacha before Shabbat, so it's mutar. Now, what about the clothing that are wet? Clothing that are wet are probably going to be muk, so there's no way to deal with that, no way to use those. Clothing that are in the dryer are going to become dry. Nikarzin, I think those are not muksa, because, first of all, it could be they're partly dry or very dry by the time Shabbat actually starts. But even if they're not, it doesn't matter. You have lots of posts going to say, gamru b'dei adam, if there's a process that a person starts, and you know it's going to finish, so then it's considered not mukzeh.
It's the same thing as a cholent. If you put a cholent,
That's a beautiful proof. Right? So the Gemara Beitah Chavav and Mabed brings this discussion. If you say mukzeh, that becomes the middle Shabbat ro'i lachila, do you say it's mukzeh? For example, what they're talking about there is grogo v'simukim, you take figs or raisins, whatever, take grapes and you want them to dry out, turn into raisins. But half-dried grape is disgusting. Nobody eats them. You eat normal raisins, you eat normal grapes or raisins. People don't eat the half or whatever, the half dry thing. Okay, so what would they do? They take the grapes, put them in the grapes that are like mushy, whatever. The grapes are not good anymore. They put them on the roof, dry out, to become raisin. So what happens if I put them on right before Shabbat and they're still soggy? They're still not edible. People don't eat them like that. But I know if you wait the whole Shabbat, after Shabbat it's going to be edible. Great. So that's going to be, says in the Gemara, even for Rabbi Shimon, who's very mekel on Shabbat, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, Lele Shabbat, Lele Mukseh, doesn't hold Mukseh. That's Dichu Be'adayim.
Rabbi Shimon says no Mukseh,
no? No, so we hold a Rabbi Shimon. You learn just that Gemara in Kira and Beita, when it comes out in a few places in Tulim, that it says, Rabbi Shimon, Lele Mukseh, the Rambam, Rif. So, it's so many exceptions. So, we hold a Mukseh the Shabbat. That's correct. However, all the Rishonim, it's true from the Gemara, all the exceptions are basically of what we hold a mukzeh, which is mukzeh gufo, mukzeh isur, when it's dechibi adayim, klishmachu isur, klishmachu laheter, mukzeh sarin kiss. So basically, all the cases that we held, all the cases we ever talk about mukzeh, five simanim and shulchan aruch later, are all asur. It's one or two cases that were mekel. We're mekel on nolad, or mekel on mukzeh mias, or Mikael on Mechamachan Isura, that's not Zechia. Okay, anyway, there's more things that are Asura than are Mutar and Mukseh, even though.
For Yom Kippur,
right? Yeah, for Sardin, for Sardin. For Ashkenazim, they have more Mekulot.
Really? What is more on Yom Kippur for Sardin?
Those three things. Nolad. So Nolad, it's not so common, but It'll be very practical on leftover food. If you ate chicken on the bone or something like that, and then there's leftover pieces of the food that are not edible to humans. If it's still edible to a human, that's fine. That's not mukhsa. Food's never mukhsa. But if it's only machal, it went from machal adam to machal behema, that's no lot. It changed. So that's, yeah, chicken bones. If it was from before Yom Tov, I had something that was animal food, that's fine. That's special for the animal food. So we're make all to clean up the whole table because of many reasons. One, gar shalrei. It's disgusting. It's not nice to leave the table. Because I would have machmir mukseh, but makom, that's gar shalrei. It's not nice. Throwing out diapers and glass. Things are disgusting or dangerous or other things are disgusting. So cleaning off the table, everybody's makel. We throw out all the stuff for sure. But that's that. A different one is nolad shiver kelim. Something breaks in the middle of Shabbat. We're more makel than on Yom Tov. But it's the same sort of discussion. If something breaks, we don't really have it so much. If something breaks, a button breaks off my shirt, and then it could be that I'm going to reuse it. After Shabbat, whatever, I'll put it back on or something like that. So on Shabbat, Mutar, on Yom Tov, is Pashut a problem for starting. Because Shiver killing. And then the third thing is most Machmius. We don't really have it so much, not so common. Let's say you have something disgusting Kalim that you don't usually use. So like a potty for a kid that's a portable thing. Something that, it was their choice. Things, it doesn't have to be a potty. Something that's just like, if you have once a Tupperware that's gross because has mold all over it. Once I was in the dorms, a roommate of mine, we were cleaning up something, and then we opened up, we saw in one of the corners a Tupperware, we opened it, and there was fumes coming out. It was alive. It was like a sandwich or something that was left there for months and months, and there was a mold growing. It was terrible. Yeah, so it was not healthy. It was terrible. So that could be mukhsa machmir mius, because people don't usually. You're not going to now use this Tupperware unless you clean it really well. But until you clean it, we say it's mius. Yeah, but that's on Shabbat it's mutar, and Yom Tov is a sort. It's very rare. There aren't so many cases. There's a few. In most cases are going to be mutar. Most of the things are the same, Shabbat and Yom Tov. Anyway, the back to what we want to get to is wet clothing is muksa, but if you put it in the dryer, it's gomer b'adam. The reason what Salom says is that the Gemara there says if it's zachi b'adam, you put the grapes on the roof, they're muksa, and that's what we hold it. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, if what the Gemara says, oh, so if that's muksa, so why isn't every person's food that they're cooking going cholent or whatever, they're cooking food going from before Shabbat into Shabbat, why is that mukse? It's like gomer b'dayadam. It's a process you start, so that's why it's mutar. That's what we hold. Gomer b'dayadam. Same thing with the dryer. The cholent, the Gemara says explicitly, it talks about chamin. It doesn't talk about the our cholent. It says it's a different food. It says greasim. It says other foods. Anything you're cooking that's slow cooking, it was inedible, becomes inedible. It becomes edible on Shabbat. I don't know. Kamindari is like a shortcut. Or it has a
Megillah. No, it means like pogo.
Pashtida.
Pashtida, that's it.
It comes like a few times.
Oh, I said Kamindari.
Yes. Anyway, it's brought over there. There's lots of fun cases. The other case we were discussing the other day is using a coffee machine with a coffee machine or a bread machine that's on the timer. You set up the before Shabbat time delay 20 hours, 15 hours, and the morning, one Shabbat morning when I wake up or Shabbat lunch, it makes me a fresh coffee. So misam alachach mutar, and or a bread machine make fresh challah at 10:30. It's gonna make it and it's gonna come out fresh from the bread machine. So there's a tshuva of Rabbi, so by coffee it could be more mutar. It's not a good idea just because of.
They used to walk into non-Jewish coffee shops.
Non-Jews. So that's.
Yeah, in Shabbat.
On Shabbat, they pick up the only coffee for the Jews, and they just pick up the cup and go out.
Yeah, so coffee is probably mutar. The bread is more of a problem. And after the Shulchan Aruch later, they talk about it. And there's lots of things. We're machmir at least for sure for a bit of time.
What's wrong with coffee though? Is it because it makes noise?
No, we don't. Ikar din, I think the coffee would be mutar to do. I think it comes into where he talks about like running a factory using robots on Shabbat. That Achi Yosef says mutar, But you have to ask the gadol because it's a question of Zilzul Shabbat. It looks like sometimes the guy, we're not, basically, in 10 years from now, we have no idea. You're going to have maids that are robots that make coffee for you and change the temperature and make your bed and do the laundry and make your food, do everything in the world you want. Just because you said some words, hello Alexa, and it does everything. So the question will be, which things will be Mutar, which things will be Zilzul Shabbat? Anyway, or just knows the way you prefer. Like they have a lot of smart thermostats that do this already. Then if you see how many people in the room, and it changes the temperature based on that. And that Nest, they call it. Nest. There's a lot of things like that. Or picture, Google cameras, pictures that take pictures of a person with their kids and filter out the good pictures, throw out the bad pictures. There's a lot of things, even out today, that exist. Anyway, okay, so fine. Then we said, so leaving an alarm clock on from before Shabbat, Mutar, and, so that's what Rav Moshe said. It's a problem unless you can only hear it in the room. You put it very quiet. You can only hear it in that room. So let's say if you use a phone or whatever, it doesn't matter. You put on the lowest setting, so it's not so loud. So then you can that'll be okay for even for Ashkenazim. For Sardim, it's really okay because we don't hold it such an issue. Fine.
Everyone knows that the
you make it from before Shabbat.
Yeah.
Some say. Meaning what? Why is no? There, Rav Moshe said maybe there is Maradayan even on that because some people said it. Some people said it the night before, right before they go to sleep. So look into Machloket, Abba Ashkenazim, but by Sardim about a more again. So that's it's definitely a big topic. Bottom line for Sardim is not even a question. For Ashkenazim, there's definitely what to do in the kale, but it's much more of a question. Okay? And I think, yes, lots of people, there's more reason to be Mikael today on the alarm clock, so people don't set it the day of usually. They set it a whole week before, whatever. Or so much. Fine. So that's the main idea. Fine. I want to go really to Shehiya. Vav is talking about carrying me. We'll talk about that another time. Zion is the same idea. Discussing not the ideas. If there's no Eruv in the town, you shouldn't go out. You can't go out on Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat, with stuff in your hands because we're afraid you're going to forget and then carry it on Shabbat. And also, you should check your pockets before Shabbat. This way, you're not going to come out and carry with stuff on Shabbat. If there's an Eruv, then these don't apply. Okay. All right. Reish Ben Gimel, here we go. This is a very important topic.
It's the first Mishnah in
And Kippur here, the third pair, yeah.
I just saw the song, it's awesome.
Okay. You'll tell us, you'll help us fill in the gaps. You'll explain to us. So this is incredibly important, right? Because, like we always talk about, right? Someone who is Misha Mechin, Be'erev Shabbat, Yochal B'Shabbat, somebody who is prepared is going to be able to appreciate and enjoy. But someone who doesn't is not. And that's a mashal to all of life, to everything we do, our relationships, our mitzvot, all getting olam haba. It only comes to the guy who works, the guy who's going to appreciate it more for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I remember. Yes, Mizil Shem was a bunch of name wrote. Exactly like that. That's the idea that we need to take into account. Then there's one of the So one exception, one thing that I mean it's not an exception, but is that food that you want to eat on Shabbat sometimes it'll be okay, and this is what we're going to discuss with Shia. If you cook it, you set everything up before Shabbat, but going into Shabbat, you're letting it cook. Okay, that's totally mutar. And it's considered also Misha Mechin. You've prepared it. Because this way, you know for sure it's going to be prepared on Shabbat. There's a nice Maharal about this type of thing. He talks about, not this exact case, but Erev Shilin. Erev Shilin, you can prepare. There's something within Erev Shilin, you make an egg, a bread, on Yom Tov for Shabbat. So he says, what's that? Teach me. I thought you're supposed to be Mechin before Yom Tov, but Mechin before Shabbat. So he says, after Mashiach is going to come, It's going to be such an incredible inspiration, such an incredible time when Klai Yisrael is going to be empowered. And really, it's going to be easy to do mitzvot because we don't have such a big Yitzhar. We have Shalva from the Amim. So if a person is going to do mitzvot, it's not that they're going to count so much. Guy, we're not going to make Makabel Geirim anymore because they're going to say, look, see, right now it's a piece of cake. So if you want to stack up more mitzvot, stack them up now. Don't wait till Mashiach comes with you. So it says the Maral, but can anybody do mitzvot? Yes, anybody who started. If you started mitzvot before, it shows that you were serious about them anyway. And you want to continue mitzvot, so you need to get them more mitzvot. With better quality, you'll add more to them. So that's the Mashal of Eretz Yisrael. Shabbat's like Olam Haba. Yom Tov is like Yom Mashiach. It's easier. You're more inspired. You have a certain koach. And it comes Olam Haba. Shabbat's name Olam Haba. Everything's prepared. Okay, so here we are for the halakha. Kiva, Kira, she has the kikadera, the shokten alpia, kadera lamala. Yisro makom she touched the kaderot. Okay, so the three types are ovens. Yeah, exactly. So we have a tanur, a kira, and then I'll have to try to find the other one. I'll try to remember the last one. It's bar over here. Okay, if you have one, there's the normal one is something that holds two pots. That's the kira. The kira has kupach. Yeah, the kupach has one. So in other words, our oven.
I actually got pictures of this.
Oh yeah, awesome. Fall down. Yeah.
But tanur is like the regular one.
Yeah. For our purposes, we're gonna assume our regular ones are like a kira, not like the tanur.
Okay, so this is Kira.
Yeah. Wow, that's a nice edge. Okay.
So that Kira looks like I put it right
now. Well, like old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You fit one pot in there, in a hole in the ground. And there's. Nice. Okay.
This. What is
that? Well, that might be that's more like. Okay.
Yeah, and the tanur is one that's like going. It's like. It's narrow in the top and exactly. Then wide in the bottom.
It's like, I don't know, it's
like this.
Almost. Triangle. Beautiful. Something like that. Nice. Great.
I don't know where this is from, but like that.
It's going to be very hot at the top.
It's a hot. It's hot. It's the hottest one you can get.
So there's this.
So what's the difference between them?
Okay, so let's read. The main differences are going to be how much you have to do to avoid Shia. And the main there's going to be four or five ways to get out to solve the problem of Shia. That's what we're looking for. Some of the kulot are going to apply to all the different ovens, and some of them are going to be different between the different ovens. Okay.
But so nowadays, our ovens are Kira level.
Are more like Kira, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, we'll see the Ramah says like that. Yeah. Kira is something that has room for two pots, so it's in between. It's not, it doesn't get the most hot, but it's not the most mekel like the kupach for one pot. So if it's kira shasui kidera shoften al pia kidera lamala yishma makom shvitach te kidera, it has an area for a pot. It's like it's basically one big pot, and you put another smaller pot inside the bigger area on the bottom. A kira is a little stove, a mini stove. We put fire on the bottom, put some coals, like exactly that. That's it. A little hole in the ground. You put some coals or some fire, and then you put a pot on top of it. So it's a. We don't have exactly. We don't ever use something like that today. So commonly,
yeah.
But
this is what they're talking.
This is what they're talking about. Yes. So this is the kira, and he says, "Look, this depends what you're heating it up with. If it was a cup of gefet chips, if you use wood chips, they're not wood chips or the olive, the pressed olive peels. Yeah, peat they call it, whatever pulp. Okay, of the olives." If you set that up, then that's going to be a sorely tain tavshimi v'adom l'shon aleh. That's a problem to leave food that's going to cook into Shabbat on that. Elam kin and bashakol sarfa. Unless there's a kula that applies across the board, there's kula number one that we should definitely hold on to is nibashakol sarfa. It's cooked. It's just pashut. It's cooked. We're not worried anymore about soaking coals because it's cooked. Good. So that's easy. Easy way out. Boom. It's done. If we do that, then we have nothing to worry about. Yeah, cholent, exactly. Usually it's cooking. Humistamek viralo. It's not getting better. It's mistamek viralo. It's not getting better. So then you don't have to worry. Leak in the mechash, shem yachate. You have nothing to worry about. Oshu chai, shalon abashal klal, or that it's totally raw. So two extremes are going to be mutar. Totally. Kedira chaita, they call it. A raw pot, a pot of all food that's raw, and the other one is totally cooked. Totally cooked mutar, totally raw mutar. So those are the two big ones. Why? Because totally cooked, you're not going to soak it. Totally raw, you're not going to soak it. Kivin shehu chai mitzil dato mimena al machar. Because since I know anyway it is raw, I forget about it and I wait until tomorrow to eat it. Because I'm not going to plan on doing it. All night, I can let it cook and I'm not going to touch it. What if it's in between? Not totally raw and not fully cooked. Even if it's cooked a little bit. Or it's cooked but it's still getting better. So not so many foods we assume are like that. But cholam we assume is usually like that. Liquidy foods we assume are more like that. But foods that are going to dry out, we don't assume. We assume are not like that. Soups we assume are usually not like that, even though... Yeah, you know, ask a chef.
No, the vegetables you put in are raw.
Yeah, no, the vegetables are same. If things are raw, then we use that kulav, they're raw. Generally, people, the main things that people are using this for are for cholent, something they put in a crock pot slow cooker, or they put in something in the oven or whatever, and they leave it going for a long time, like raw meatballs or stuffed cabbage or stuffed grape leaves and something like that. And you put it in totally raw, and you put it in the oven only 200, 250 or something like that. Low temperature, it'll cook all the grape leaves for tomorrow. My mother's done that before. That's a thing some people will do. It's not so common on the fire itself. You're going to leave a soup for very long, because if you leave it till the next day, till Shabbat lunch, it's going to get ruined. It's going to burn. It doesn't work. If you leave it Friday night, in 1 hour, it's not going to fully cook. Most things don't cook so quickly. So most of the time, it's going to be, the only way to do it is if it's cooked from before Shabbat, or if it's mostly cooked before Shabbat. So then we'll talk about if it's mostly cooked. What if it's not fully cooked? So that's what Bendersai, exactly. So good. We'll see if there's any room to make kel. For Shachan Ruch, so far we didn't say any kula of that. All we said is raw or fully cooked. We didn't say if it's machal ben or said, so it's okay.
Doesn't say anything about machal.
He's going to be, the Ramah is going to say mutar, but he's going to be, he's not going to hold that, so that works. Chashin shami
yechateh.
Best thing is raw or fully cooked. For Ashkenazim, Achamin or Saif. For Sardim, we're also make kel, machal ben or Saif, this man is Zed, the main min hax, we make kel.
Is it half or a third?
It's going to be a machloket.
I
think a third, if you really have to, we make it even to a third. But again, we try not to rely. We try to use the kulot that we, the best kulot that we want to rely on, are the other ones we haven't gotten to, or fully cooked. Raw is a little bit of a question today, because Rav Hinkin and Rav Moshe, they made an argument to say maybe it doesn't apply anymore. Because the reason that we're saying that raw food is not going to be a problem with cooking is because you're mesir da, because you're going to forget about it and leave it till tomorrow. However, today, most foods, and that's because in their day, what were they using? They were using coals. So you can't, there's only so much you can increase the heat. You increase the heat, I don't know, from 200 degrees to 300, whatever. And how long from stroking is going to stay hot? For another 20 minutes, it's going to stay hot. It's not going to stay hot that much hotter for that much longer after I stoke it. Unless I'm sitting over it for forever, it's not going to get that hot for such a long time. So therefore, as long as it's raw before Shabbat, there's no chance of being cooked until the morning. So therefore, you could stoke all you want. It's not going to make it cook, so don't worry. Today, most things cook very quickly. In the oven, like I was talking about my mother doing the raw grape leaves. Raw grape leaves, you put it on 300 or 400 degrees, you can do it in 2 hours, whatever. You do it in an hour, whatever, very quickly. And you can even eat it Friday night. You could also do it at 250 and to cook it for 12 hours. It'll also be fine because there's a lot of liquid, so it doesn't burn. But it could cook quicker. Same thing with crock pots, with cholent. If you've seen, like, they have recipes for stews by goyim or whatever it is, by Jews too, has recipes, and they could say, leave it in the crock pot at a high side for 4 hours. Some of the recipes, some say 6 hours, 8 hours, but they have recipes for 4 hours. It's edible after 4 hours if you have it on high temperature. The potatoes get cooked in 4 hours. And the same thing with the meat, maybe probably even quicker. So that's where Moshe didn't like it. Rav Hinkin said maybe there's a difference between crock pots and other things. Because crock pots usually are in a low setting, usually for a long time.
Like, once you put it in a low temperature, you're not going to change it.
No, but that's the Gezerah. Maybe there are. We're not assuming. There is an opinion.
No, the Gezerata, you will come and stoke the coals.
Right, there is an opinion that distinguishes. Maram Brisk, there is an opinion 100 years ago that said maybe all the Gezerata of Mashiach don't apply anymore. Is that because they only apply to stoking coals? They don't apply to anything that's electric or anything that's gas? Because then it's talking about pressing a button or turning a knob or switching a dial. And we're not afraid you're going to do that. You'll remember before you do that. It's only by stoking coals, very easy to do. But Maisa, we do not hold like that. That's not all. All the poskim do not accept that. Chazon Ravadia brings in and Chilak Aleph has one sniff and one among many that he's more mekel on hot plates. It's not the main thing. We don't really hold.
Because the wires are going to cover the metal plate.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the reason that we're actually mekel. We don't follow the opinion that says buttons are just going to be no one's going to do anything. We're afraid because people press buttons very quickly and easily. So it's a gazer. There's still it's very reasonable. It's the same thing. What it used to be 200 years ago,
no,
to what
no,
it is
no,
today.
No, I understand what you're saying. What I mean is that he's afraid of putting the knowledge because the things cook very
easily. Moshe is afraid, yeah.
Yeah, because things cook very easily. Now, even in the if we go like the Shulchan Aruch that we put it raw, it's not going to be like,
yeah.
You're going to still be able to
right.
Cook it and get it done.
Exactly.
So the problem is, it doesn't apply nowadays.
That's what Rav Moshe was afraid. Rav Hinkin was ready to be a little more like a crackpot. Rav Adya says mutar. He says,
it's
I don't remember where it is.
So,
you tell me.
Listen,
okay,
well, I think
says,
okay.
The Ravadia still holds it. Because says, look, Maran said it, none of the post game and all the generations said it. We change on it. And also, part of it is just the psychology. Most of the time, people don't switch it. It's, even though you could, but the Svara is Mesiach Dar. The Svara still is a little bit true. You haven't, you're not planning on eating it. Even though in theory you could, but it's just annoying to do. You have to pay attention to it more so it doesn't burn. So every night, most people don't do it.
Let's say you didn't cover it. The DIY is it a sewer?
So covering is what we didn't get to. Girl for Gutuma.
Meaning,
like
yeah,
that.
You didn't
yeah.
Cover the nose. So
that's the best thing. One of the best kulot that avoids all these things about half cooked, part cooked, third cooked, full cooked. You don't have to worry about any of those if it's covered. So.
The fire,
the knobs.
So it's a machloket, cover the knobs or the fire. But usually on our fires, we cover them anyway. For example, people have a piece of metal, a blech, they call it, on top of the fire. Either one or two, or they put on. There are a lot of things. Also, the hot plate is already considered fire. The wires that are hot underneath are covered.
One question, why were they afraid of stoking the coals to eat and not stoking the coals, let's say it's gonna get burned tomorrow. Well, then say, oh, he's gonna take the
coals and throw them out. Yeah, it's a good, it's a very good question.
Yeah.
Right.
The metal part, covering the knobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see that. Excellent.
They don't really have it nowadays.
No. No, but you could put... Okay, so the Ikar Hadin is covering the fire. It's a machloket poskim. Do you have to cover the knobs or you just cover the fire? So, it's a big discussion. So some,
you could do both if you want.
Yeah, the best thing is you can do both. Fun. But Ikar is really to cover the fire. Cover the wires. Now, by the hot plates, it's always cover the wires. So Rav Adya is very mekel by, you know, someone wants to do it the easy way out, and it's great for lots and lots of poskim. It solves lots of issues of all these issues, as I have the hot plate. Because the hot plate is going to be mutar because the curve of Ketuma is already covered. That's one.
It doesn't have many things.
And it doesn't actually come with a shell, like compost.
And there's no knob to change it.
If there's no knob, that's even better. So then, if it doesn't,
right.
Even if it has a knob, it's still, in terms of being covered, it's still be mutar. In terms of what about the returning food and take out the food in front of Shabbat morning, you wake up, you have food in the fridge. I have chicken, kugel, whatever it is. So it revises, you can put it on the hot plate. The electric hot plate with no knob. If there's no knob.
Water
food, exactly. Yeah. I wasn't thinking on the water food. Watery food is going to be, we have to deal with the question of Bishul Achar Bishul, but the Relach, Machloket Rishonim, Machloket Shechan Achorama. And we're not making up. We're making. Rav Adya make up a grumma. Grumma is like if it's on a timer. You put on the hot plate. It's going to go on at 9 o'clock. You set it before Shabbat. And I know I'm going to take out the soup or the very watery thing. 8 o'clock. I'll put it on the hot plate. At that point, the hot plate was cold. The hot plate was not on. It's going to turn on at 9. That's mutar. Even with watery things. Because grumma is mutar. Right?
According to
Rav Adya, totally mutar. It's a machloket even by Ashkenazim. Shachter talks about it. It's a stira in two opinions, two tshuvot l'horo natan, and one place in the Chazon Ish. He says it's a problem about this case. Could you use grama to be mekel on hachzar? Hachzar is returning the food. Could you be mekel on that?
Because there's only turning the fire. You're on fire, and then you're
putting it back in the fire, right? Right, so this case is much more, I'm trying to say, much bigger. Hazara, you have to have usually five conditions of paying that's not Ashkenazim. So we whittle them down, maybe to three from Iran. Fine. L'chachila five, but three will also work. Okay, but still, what if I didn't have it on the fire at all? It was in the fridge from before Shabbat. What if me, let's say, schnitzel? Chicken, and she put it in the fridge. We didn't eat Friday night. Friday night we needed some other food. And then she took out the schnitzel and she wanted to heat it up. Shabbat day. There's no hasara there at all. So is that mutar? So Ravadi says, the reason we make kelim on the hot plate is not mechzikim of Hashel. It doesn't look like you're cooking. There's a different reason. So there are three rules. One is shehiya. Shehiya is all about Shemi, you're going to stoke the coals. Then there's a different rule called Hamana is insulating the food very tightly. Also, Shemi Chatev B'Chalim is also about stoking the coals. And then, Hachzara. Hachzara is returning the food. So you took it off the fire, you put it back. That's Mechzik Mevashel. It looks like you're cooking on the middle of Shabbat. I took something off, and I hold it in my hand for 10 minutes, and then I put it back. It might look like I'm cooking. So if you have a bunch of conditions in my hand, and I didn't put it on the ground, or on a counter that looks like I'm putting it away, or I don't have it in mind, I'm going to put it back. That's a chumra from Ashkenazim.
Why the hot plate is not
mechzik? Because how many times do you cook on a hot plate? Like, they have one here. How many times do you ever cook on a hot plate during the week? Never. Most people never cook on it.
But it gets so hot, though.
It does get very hot.
Good eggs.
There are some who are machmir on it, but they... Shri Pesach Frank was mekel. The Rav Yashiv in different places was called some makeup, some machmir, fine. Shmir Shabbos was machmir on this.
On hot plates. So what do they use?
No, he has a different kula. He uses a hot plate with a tin foil on top, with like a tin pan. You ever seen, some people in Israel do this, they have a hot plate or something, they put a tin, an upside down tin foil. Upside down pan. Now some people do it just so the food doesn't burn. What? Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly. He's applying that. Yeah.
Well, you have to be careful that you put, like, towels on top or something. Like,
why towels?
Because it's, like, insulated.
No, don't put a towel. You don't want a towel, because if you put a towel, it's going to be insulating.
Yeah. You cannot put the towels on top.
The best thing is not to put the towels on top of all the pots and pans and the food and the hot plate. I don't know if you ever saw it, there's such a thing like a hot mana blanket or whatever they made. It goes in all the food. So once I was joking, I thought, oh, why in the world did they make this? They made it to teach people what it means to have to violate hot mana. But that's not the case. They made it so that people should use it. For Ashkenazim, it's mutar. Because it doesn't tightly cover the pots on all the sides. Still, there's what to make out. Because even on the top, there's still a little baby chili on the food if the pots come up to the top, and there's airspace like the Ravani has by the crock pot. There's definitely one to make count. As well as the Halakha Berurah brings, there was Ramei Mekel. That's starting to follow Ramah on that question. Yes, there's one to make count on both of those questions. However, since the difference is minimal, it's not like the food is going to be tasting terrible versus tasting great. For most of the time, putting on the towel makes almost very little difference. If you have a good hot plate that's working anyway, it's working well, you don't need the towel, and it'll be just fine. That's the main thing. Yes, there's what to be making on that. Because it's based on a few machlokot and rishonim. One machlokot is towels are considered davar she'en mosif hevel. They don't absorb a lot of heat like ashes and coals and olive peels. But some Rishonim, as Maran holds up, some Rishonim say the towel itself doesn't have a lot of heat, but the towel together with the pot that's on the fire does have a lot of heat. It's mostly heaven, machmar ha'ish. So that's a machloka Rishonim, some of our Mekelna. Then also, it's not on all sides. You have the Rabbi Nachman al Machmir Maran, and then you have Tosfos and others who make out. So that's another reason to make out. Look, there's reason to make out, and then that's why there was a minhag. There was a minhag, right? Even by Sardin to make out on that question with the towels. Even if I'm not going to do this, okay.
Like, they make, they don't cover up the whole side. They're not going to pop.
Right. No, okay. Covering it all the sides very tightly. Yeah, then that's already a question by Ashkenazim. Better not to do that on all sides. But just on top, yeah. Ashkenazim, Mutar L'Chachila, by Sardim, Yesh V'Yesh, there's definitely what to rely on by Sardim.
Is it covered for Hamim?
For Hamim, for the Cholent, same thing. Yeah, it would be dependent on the same thing as we were discussing. Meaning, if you put on, you want to put a towel on top of the Hamim. I would advise best, I don't think it's the best thing to do it. Oh, yeah, that's because that's a very big discussion about is the pot itself called insulating. Right, so Hanmana. So Rav Yashiv said it was, or in different versions of what he said, but either way, a lot of poskim thought it was a problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman went back and forth on this, and Rav Neubert, the one who wrote the Shmir Shabbat, asked him on his deathbed when Rav Shlomo Zalman was very sick, and he said he doesn't have a psak on it. He's not going to give a final answer with Tara Asur on the crockpot. He said, "Figure it out yourself." So he didn't want to give a psak, and it's machloket. So that's why the Shmir Shabbat gives a chumrah. He says, "You know what? You should put tinfoil underneath the crockpot to between the bottom, the pot, and the put tinfoil between the pot and the heater." And then the insurance doesn't make it so it's a little bit raised up, so it's not touching. So people put like a ball of tinfoil or something underneath, so it's a little bit raised up. Ashkenazim. Chaim Avadia has in Chaim Avadia like 10 pages, a lot of pages about this. He's make kel. And one of the reasons, one of them is there's a small space, between the pot and the heating element. If a lot of pots are like this, they're hanging on the side, on the edge, and they're hanging down. They don't actually touch the metal on the bottom. They do it this way so it doesn't break the pot, it doesn't get too hot or whatever, it doesn't break the pot, whatever it is. But since there's a tiny space, that's one reason to say it's not hot, because it's not holding it very tightly. That's one reason they count. Another reason is the cover itself might not be called a kazer hamana at all. It's not, your kavana was not a hamana. The cover is just this way. Dirt doesn't get in there, just so this way it stays clean and covered. So that's another reason to make kel, is that's on all sides. So two svarot to make kel, and plus he adds the shugala haleka that the Beit Yosef brings is a very good svarah, very easy, intuitive svarah, is any time you're not planning on eating it the Friday night, just like that's mutar. It says in the Gemara, it's mutar. And you're planning on eating it the next day, kedera chayta, the raw stuff that you're planning on eating the next day.
That's the whole leniency behind it.
He just says, it says that in the Gemara by Shihia. Like, raw food you're going to plan on having tomorrow, so that's why it's not an issue, stoking coals. So what's the reason for Shihia stoking coals? What's the reason for Hamana stoking coals? So we should apply the rules over there. We should use the kula of something that's raw and getting cooked. Use that also for Hamana. So it's a type of food that's not going to be ready until the lunch. And you're planning on eating it for lunch, not for Friday night. You don't have to worry about Hamana at all. He says Hamana, you don't have to be concerned. So now, we don't really try to align that opinion, but we use that as a sniff. So therefore, Rav Adya's Mekel. He brings a big reason to be Mekel. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good idea if you cover the knob. Because then it's an added reason to say, that's already Gerv Kutuma. Put a little tinfoil or a tape or something on top of that. So yeah, he doesn't think you need tinfoil around the whole whole thing.
Did you see the crockpot they made in Lakewood?
No, what they do?
Ashes. So it's right here.
Okay. They try to avoid all these questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Here. It comes with a cover already on
the beautiful.
And also comes with, like, you see this metal piece over there?
Yeah, so it's separated.
It separates the pot from the actual heat.
I have something just like it. I just don't have the metal piece.
It says for Shabbos use only.
Okay, so really,
they made it themselves?
It's like a Shabbat-approved crockpot.
The main crockpot they sell, the one we have, the main crockpot, there's Bed Bath and Beyond, other places sell it. It's just called a separated crockpot, whatever it is, a heating element on bottom and the pot on top. It's just that there's no heating element all around. For the chumrot of Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would not be a problem at all. Because there's no heating element on all the sides.
Just on the bottom.
Meaning, Chaim Avadia was making on the regular crackers, which are surrounding. This one for sure would be mutar. I'm just saying,
But you don't even need this kotzer about it.
This is going to be made. This is going to take care of every shita. There's no way anybody could ask for that because yeah. that has first of all zahan on all the sides. Second of all, there's a piece of metal they put there. So okay, I don't even think you need the piece of metal, but fine. What I did, I basically is I have something just like this.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it's enough for you.
Look, this way they take care of all the shayla. But you know what's good for? Besides, so if you could do hachzar to return, so this is not advisable in the sense if we're talking about a cooked cholent, so that's one thing. Let's say if the advisable thing I was discussing is let's say you want to eat Friday night cholent and then take a scoop, eat some cholent, and then leave the rest for tomorrow. So now. The only way to do this is, first of all, your food has to be edible, otherwise you're going to waste your time eating.
Make sure it's fully cooked.
The other way, exactly. That's the big thing. Because if it's not fully cooked, then you have to deal with big issues of cooking. If you take it off, you cannot put it back because it's not cooked. And even if it's not cooked and it's on, I can't start scooping it out. That's already a problem.
You can't close the lid, right?
Can't close the lid. As Makar Bishul. Very big issues. Not pashut.
So
someone asked me last week on Shabbat, they did that.
Not
they,
touch it to
the they opened it. They saw that it wasn't cooked, and they didn't know the halakha. They thought they were going to take cholent. They didn't need any cholent because it wasn't cooked anyway. They put back on the cover. Oh no, what's the deal with tomorrow? So not so simple, but we deal with shogeg, ma'aseh Shabbat, some mekilim, some achirim. It would have been cooked anyway. There's what svaro to be mekel, but it's not the good way to go for sure. So
don't touch it till we will eat it.
The best thing is not touch. But let's say you had it fully cooked. Some people make their cholent Friday morning. So it's already been cooking 5 hours, 10 hours. So it's going to be cooked. They put it in high heat for a few hours, or they put it in the morning and they put it in low heat. But it'll be cooked. It doesn't take 20 hours. It takes 10 hours for sure. It'll be cooked for 10 hours. So then Friday night, they want to take. So then, if you just take out a scoopful, so some make helium. For a sardine, there's much more to make helium. If it's cooked, take just a scoop out. That would be mutar. Ikardin for shachanuk, you can even stir it. It's fully cooked, but that's not. We try not to do that. But to take a scoop out, that's mutar ikardin. Chalavad is mekel or letzion more machmir on that. That therefore the letzion says okay. So what could we do? Next option is take it off, take some scoop out, and then you'll put it back. Okay, that could work. The only thing is you have to be careful. Only fully cooked. If you do fully cooked, what can you do? Scoop some out, put it in your bowl. That's one option, and then cover it back. Or take it off, take it out of scoop, and then put it back. The only way you can put it back, though, is then if you had the knob, or the, really it's much better than the knob, have the inside covered. Because then, otherwise, you have to deal with, it's not garufi ketuma. If it's not garufi ketuma, it's a question of
and if it's water,
it's all to circumnavigate chazara.
Yeah. So look, if someone's in that situation, they feel they have to have it on Friday night, I like to follow Rav Vadya's. I would say better just to scoop out a scoop, and put it in your bowl, and don't take anything off. Don't do the hachzara. But if someone wants to follow the oil, you could. Just make sure you're going to have some tinfoil or something in the crack pot, or something separating between the pot and the metal.
Actually,
it's not so common, but
it's liquid.
I haven't seen so common. I haven't seen people eat Friday night the cholent. I think it's like a shiva thing.
If it's like, liquidy.
If it's liquidy, you can still return it. If it's still very hot, so that's all edible. Usually, this whole process of taking out cholent, it's going to take a minute, 2 minutes. It's not going to take, or 30 seconds.
Ashkenazi usually have the
mekel. Ashkenazi even remember mekel on that.
Like, they take it out, they put it, and then they put it back where they fit.
All right, so we definitely started. There's a lot more here.
Where are we? We're
going to pause by... That it's Asur L'Shahosh, Ellen King Garat. Okay. We'll stop. It's a whole big sieve. We'll stop where he's talking about Garufi Ketuma. We'll talk about how do you make some Garufi Ketuma by your gimel, okay?
Like we hold like, what is it, Hananya?
Yeah, we usually hold like Chamim, the Ashkenazim hold like.